Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You'll know we've been talking about the state of some of the social houses available to tenants across the country on the programme all this week.
My son turned around to me, oh, Mammy, I can't wait until we get a new house. And I'm like, oh, one day, son, and any time where he's sitting down and colouring pictures, he's drawing a house and saying, Mammy, that's my room. And that's fucking sad. I'm sorry I'm crying, but that's sad. Like, and we're stuck where we are, and it's just absolutely horrendous. Like, and no one's, and we're just being left here to suffer, like.
But it's hard. And even, like, he broke his leg in the garden when he was trying to do the gardening work there a few years back, and he fell and broke his leg trying to do it. He fell another time, blacked out, and was end up concussed in hospital because he hit his head off the path. But he's never let his condition stop him. But unfortunately now they're with his conditions are winning. And all we're looking for is help.
It's in me two bedrooms, it's in me kitchen, and it's in me toilet. It's grey and mould, like, on me walls. You're bleaching it, you're painting your walls nearly every 3 to 6 months in it. It's slums we're living in. That's what we're living in, slums. Makes you feel angry, like, you're born and raised here, and, like, they're making you live like this then. Do you know what I mean? Me young fella doesn't live with me anymore because he's breeding over the mould in the bedroom. They're doing the row, they're doing the tarmac out there. What about the mould? Never mind the tarmac. The mould in people's houses they want to be doing. Not the tarmac.
They're able to eat right through and into the house. And the amount of photos I've taken, I caught 36 rats after Christmas.
26?
36.
36? In three days.
Jesus, Karen. Since before Christmas, a total amount that I've counted up was 85.
Oh, God, stop it.
Yeah, and I thought they were mice, by the way. They weren't, because the size of the feet, no hair on the tails, you know the rats are not mice.
So that's just some of the listeners who got in touch on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and you're still getting in touch today to tell us about the conditions you're living in houses that you're renting from local authorities across the country. That's Jasmine, Linda, Amy, Carly and Karen, and you can listen back to all of those stories. Those podcasts are on the Go Loud app and you can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. But John Mark McCafferty, who's the CEO of Threshold, is with me here on the programme today. John Mark, what's your reaction to those women, first of all?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Look, appalled that there are clearly real challenges there in certain parts of local authority housing. And I guess what many people don't know is that the tenancies there are not covered by, you know, in some ways stronger legislation within the private rented sector, which is where Threshold is. And that, you know, where there are problems with damp and mould in local authority dwellings, the body that's responsible for inspecting those properties is also the landlord. It's the local authorities, and that is part of the challenge here. And there's probably a need for separating out the local authority's landlord function with an inspection function that probably should be completely independent of the local authorities, because there is a conflict of interest there.
So just to be clear, the landlord in all of these cases, and they're just listeners, you know, from Dublin City Centre, they're in Dublin 8, they're in Louth, they're in Meath, you know, they're in other parts of the country as well. The landlords there are those county councils.
Well, if you're telling me that they are those county councils, then They're also responsible for the upkeep and also for the inspection.
Well, sorry, no, I'm asking the question. Like, if I'm on the social waiting social housing list, for sake of argument, in Dublin City, and I'm renting a house, social house from Dublin City Council, are they the landlord?
If you're a tenant of Dublin City Council, they're the landlord. Absolutely. So I guess the challenge there is that they are the provider of the social housing, but they're also the body that's supposed to kind of police and enforce physical standards. And indeed, it's the local authorities that either carry out or commission inspections for rental properties more generally, whether that's in the private rental sector or indeed among the approved housing bodies, which are the, if you like, the voluntary housing associations.
So for, does this mean that the likes of your local authority, they'll have a maintenance programme? So if I ring up and report any of the different issues that have arisen on this programme this week, John, whether it's, you know, mould or issues with regards to drafts and windows, are those works that I, as the tenant, have to pay to get carried out and replaced? Or do the local authority tasked with doing that?
Well, the local authority have a set of duties and responsibilities. And the local authorities are the people for the local authority tenants to contact. Now, obviously, there are certain things in which in a home where people will maintain themselves because within the insides of their home. But ultimately, if they are local authority tenants, then the local authority is the landlord. The local authority has ultimate responsibility for the upkeep and maintenance, renovation of those dwellings.
Do you have an issue with that?
Well, I mean, our specialism is really in the private rented sector, yeah, and less so in social housing, and certainly less so in local authority housing. So I guess for us, as I mentioned there, and this came up in the discussions around the Housing Commission and the drafting of the report, that, you know, if you like, with regard to standards, local authorities are both, you know, poacher and gamekeeper, in the sense that they are tasked with overseeing standards and inspecting for standards, but they themselves are a social housing provider. So there should be a dividing line between those who provide social housing and those who inspect and make judgments on that housing and the kind of actions that are required in order to bring lower performing housing up to standard. So I think that's absolutely key. And indeed, you know, if you're in the private rented sector and you're a landlord, then your houses, your apartments are subject to inspection either by a local authority or by a body delegated by the local authority. And yet the local authority itself is a provider of housing through their social housing programme.
So do we have, just to be clear, John Mark, and I appreciate that you're in the business through threshold of supporting the country's private renters, or those renting, I suppose, from private landlords. But how strict are the social housing standards and guidelines when you compare them to those in the private sector?
It's hard for me to say, to be honest, but I guess that the fundamental question here is if there's a conflict of interest, because local authorities are the provider of social housing in terms of council housing, but they're also the bodies that provide the inspection. So you have a kind of things working against each other there. And I think, like everything, you'll have a variety of performance across different local authorities in relation to, you know, how quickly or the regime of inspection, how quickly they do the inspections and come up with findings, how quickly they respond to those inspections, how quickly they deal with things like voids or empty units within the council housing sector. It can vary from local authority to local authority, because we've 32 different local housing bodies at local government level, and so there'll be a variety of performance across the board.
I should say as well, John Mark, just from some of the local authorities that we've been talking about this week, and to be fair to them and the statements that they've sent to us with regards to the issues raised by listeners, I mean, they do talk about the fact that, you know, maintenance and upgrade works aren't undertaken on properties where there's rent arrears outstanding, that tenants, you know, they do have a responsibility for looking after and funding as well their own pest control services or problems that arise within houses. But is there anything anybody in social housing can do if they're not satisfied with the level of maintenance works that's being carried out?
Well, I suppose they can always go to their local councillors. That is an option. I know of people who have gone to certain free legal advice centres, Mercy Law, Community Law and Mediation, they tend to focus on issues related to local authority or council housing. So that might be a way for local authority tenants to pursue certain issues where they feel they're not being resolved. But I guess, you know, local councillors have a stake in the local communities, and that is one way in which the tenants can make representation.
Like, you know better than anybody, if there's landlords, and many of them who shared stories with us here on the programme over the last couple of years, John Mark, if there was landlords out there who didn't have properties in decent, tip-top condition, the RTB and others would be down on them like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, and I guess that this is the contradiction in housing policy, that we have, you know, obviously protections for tenants who are in the private rented sector, private landlords, mostly small, or the approved housing body sector, housing associations. But when it comes to having a kind of recourse to, say, a dispute mechanism, that doesn't exist in council housing, local authority housing. So there are different rules, there are different regimes, and that's a real challenge there. And, you know, for example, at our work, we provide tailored advice for people who are in private rented housing, who are licensees, maybe in a rent-a-room situation. We'll provide mediation services between tenant and landlords. We'll assist with disputes that go to the RTB. But you have to be a tenant of either a private landlord or an approved housing body in order to access those services, or indeed be a licensee for us to kind of advise. I guess it's a different kind of legislative in space for the likes of council tenants, local authority tenants, and while, you know, that there are added advantages of being a local authority tenant. If you're in a house, you still have the tenant purchase option, right, which you wouldn't have in the approved housing body sector, but you do have this curious situation with standards, repairs, mold, damp, those kind of things, and we saw the situation in Bond flats recently. You appear not to have the same kind of recourse you may have if you're in a private rented sector dwelling, or indeed approved housing body tenancy. So there is a need for, you know, a kind of a separate standards inspection body or regime outside of the local authorities.
Just finally, John Mark, with regards to your own area, your own remit in the private rental sector, the new rental legislation that applies to those entering into tenancies from the 1st of March of this year, how is that faring out?
Well, it's been a mixed bag. I think some existing landlords have misinterpreted some of the legislation, and that's why we saw a peak in some of the tenancies ending. I think also it's mixed fortunes in terms of the legislation itself, because it does provide it and should provide stronger security of tenure for people with a 6-year tenancy, which in which it's very difficult to end. But at the same time, part of that legislation also included the mechanism to reset rents at the end of those 6 years, or when a tenant ends the tenancy, leaves the property. That rent can now go up to market rates. So over time, we will see, I believe, substantial further increases in rent levels. And that will be a challenge for people trying to afford what will become, you know, I guess, market rate rents. And, you know, we forget sometimes, because the issues right now are a lot about supply and about tenancies ending, that rent levels are still very, very high and will continue to increase. And at least with the rent pressure zone legislation, there's a moderation in the rent increases. But if you can reset that rent up to market level, you know, then over time you'll see generally quite a substantial increase in rents and issues with affordability and issues with accessing private rented housing in the first place. Yeah. It's becoming the preserve of people with a bit more income now. You know, it used to be the tenure of last resort. What we're seeing now is it's, you know, people with at least some means, you know, some income, albeit kind of modest or moderate, they're the ones able to access the private rented housing. And people who are trying to start out are staying with parents, staying with grandparents, and there's this kind of, a pausing in people's development and their ability to kind of form households and get on with their life, and that's a real issue.
This texter makes a suggestion: if the landlords were licensed like taxi owners, an examination of their premises was required before the property could be rented. Would this not be the perfect solution to landlords, even in the social space, renting out premises that had mould and even in deplorable conditions, as we heard throughout the week as well? For the moment, we leave it there. John Mark McCafferty, CEO of Threshold. John Mark, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. As I said, you can listen back to all of the callers: Jasmine, Linda, Amy, Carly, Karen. They're just a flavour of some of the stories we shared earlier this week. Podcasts in the Go Loud app. And if you want to share your own experience, drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.